The blur season might be over, but podcasting season never ends. That's right. We're going to be providing you with weekly content here at Podcast 63. We'll take you throughout the whole season, recapping games, recapping how different coaches did, how different players did. We'll talk recruiting news and anything in between. If there's any breaking news, you know where to go. You'll hear Buck and Lou talking about it on Mondays or throughout the week. So please tune in with us throughout the off season. We'll have weekly content, and you'll be the first to know if there won't be a podcast that week. But stick with us. We're in exciting times here at Podcast 63. Thanks for tuning in, and here's another episode.
He jumps. He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won. 60-58.
Well, there is another season in the books for our Ramblers. In our one NIT game, we lost to Creighton 70-61. It wasn't a bad game. It wasn't a good game. For the most part, all of the second half, we were down and did not look like we were very close. There was some points in the first half where we tied the game, and it was close, but towards the end of the second half, it really, Creighton kind of kept that 9-10 point lead for the most of the second half, and we just couldn't break through to make it a one or two possession game. We had a couple players play pretty well, but for the most part, Creighton played our game, and they played it better. We had Ahir and Cam put up good numbers, scoring 17 and 18 points respectively. Other than that, Clayton had a decent game. Marcus had a few assists, but Lucas struggled to shoot. He didn't shoot as many shots as he should have. And as far as the bench goes, Bruno made a couple threes and then had a garbage time layup. Lou, it's another season in the books. What did you think about this game?
It was not the game we all wanted to see to end our season on. But that's how it was. It was, as we knew, Creighton is a big-time team, a former Valley team on the Big East. They got some great guys, and really I think that's what was it, that their guys just really controlled the game, and it was their game, and we were playing at Creighton. And again, I don't think that really was a huge factor in it. Actually, at the time, we hope everyone's well, but Omaha was going through some tough things, so I don't think many fans got out there. So in reality, I think this was our game to lose, and it was. We let it go. We let it kind of slip. We never really let the game get out of hand. I'll definitely say that. Yeah. I'll definitely say we kept in there, and that was the thing I think that killed us even more as fans watching the game, was like, oh, we're so close, and then it was got away from us. Simply put, some guys showed flashes, and we'll talk about it, of wish we saw that during the year, and we hope for next year, since especially the guy who went off was Ahir. And can't wait to see this for the next 2 years, the way he played. Some guys that ended their career at this game wish we could see different things. But again, it's not what we really wish for. It's what happens. And this is what happened. And again, you can't really get everything you want. But again, that's just how it went. And I think there are a few things that this game showed us that definitely we can work on. But overall, it was a tough one. Never really controlled the pace, but some flashes of what could be is a great thing to see.
Yeah, I think some things we talked about before the game on the podcast last week was controlling the rebound battle and also limiting three-point tries for Creighton. And although we did limit them under 40% three-point shooting, not by much. They still made 9. Specifically, their big guy, Crumple, had 4, which is tough to see. We know it's something that is difficult for Loyola to guard. It has been in the past when an opposing team's big man is able to shoot a three-pointer or 2 or 3 or even 4. So that was a little difficult to see. And additionally, we lost the rebound battle, 33-27. We let up 6 offensive rebounds. So, we weren't controlling the possessions. We weren't controlling the pace. And overall, that's what led to our eventual loss. Just switching gears a little bit here, let's talk about some of the good things. Let's talk about Cam. Let's talk about Ahir. Mentioned a little bit before, Ahir finished with 18 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 steals in only 18 minutes. It was really fun to see him play super well. I loved seeing him cut to the basket. Cam was doing a great job of finding him. He had an offensive rebound and a putback, which was nice to see. It just seemed like this was the type of game we were waiting for Ahir to have all season. And even though he did have one or two good games, specifically against Indiana State earlier in the year, this definitely was his most impressive game in the second half of the season, undoubtedly. We're hoping that this is not just a random occurrence, that Ahir can do this consistently next season. Cut to the basket, finish under the hoop. I think from what we've seen so far, the best case we can hope for next season is that Ahir is similar to Andre Jackson without the three-point shooting ability. Like, I think that's our most realistic hope for him, is that he's able to cut, finish around the hoop, get some rebounds, maybe even handle the ball a little bit. But we have not seen anything as far as him being able to shoot three-pointers consistently. So that's where Ahir is. And, yeah, he had a good game. You can't take that away from him. Lou, did you want to talk about your boy Cameron Krutwig and his game against Creighton?
I definitely agree. Ahir, flashes of greatness. You can't really say anything else. He was 9 for 11. Again, no three-pointers, as we're both going to agree. We don't think that's the best spot for him. We don't think he could feel comfortable, but that's just not where the scoring is going. And again, his scoring hasn't even been a thing up until this point. So it was great to see the 18. Cam, it was great to see. As we know, the last game against Bradley wasn't that terrific. It was a decent game by him, but couldn't really say it was a Cam or Krutwig game, especially getting blocked all the time. But this game, he was there. He was a presence. 8 for 14, not bad. He had only 4 rebounds, which is kind of low, but 17 points put up. He had 5 assists and 3 blocks. So those are great things to see. So, I think overall for Cam, it was a game that was kind of interesting to really, really play and put out there, especially with him and Ahir kind of down low being a thing. And I think that's a thing for next year, is like, offensively, we know Cam can move the ball, but I would love for him and Ahir to be the rim guys, to be the guys getting rebounds off the ball, especially Ahir being a little bit more athletic than Cam, grabbing that offensive rebound, maybe just being the guys who are around the cylinder, putting up little layups, or just being around for a little hook or something, because I think they can. But Cam played, I think the 5 assists or something again, but I think next year Cam might even score more. This is going to be a different Cam than each year. I see Cameron being a different player, and I think now with him being the seniority, I know we have Bruno and Tater, older guys, but Krutwig, I feel, would be the seniority, the captain leadership on the team, because he's now had the experience, his freshman year Final Four, big guy. This year, first team MVC, in votes for Player of the Year. So I think the Cameron Krutwig we will hopefully see these next 2 years will be the leader Cameron Krutwig, the Player of the Year Cameron Krutwig, and overall more higher statistics Cameron Krutwig, where you might see the double-double consistently and maybe flashes of a triple-double. Again, his triple-double is the dream we all want to see from pushing those assists even to the double digits. But this game is just kind of was a consistent thread for Cameron, 17 points. And that was pretty much right. Cam, everyone else, Clay, for Clay and Marcus's game, this was their last game as a Loyola Rambler. A tough game. We wanted them to drop 40 each, maybe. Mm-hmm. But we got to be a little realistic. As we know, we got to put it out there. For those who might not follow, Marcus seemed to have injured his thumb. So again, we don't know that while watching the game live. And again, if the cameras, there's no one on the bench or camera zoning in on what's going on. So I would definitely say the thumb affected him during the game, only going 1 of 8 field goal. But the man had 8 assists. So, and again, as Marcus was never shy this year of moving the ball around. So that was pretty much a thing. Bruno had some threes from the FIBA line. And that was interesting to see, but it was an overall, it was a game we could have had, a game we wanted to have, but just really wasn't 100% there. We were present, we were there, we fought, just kind of let it just slip away.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see. We saw Marcus and Cam have such a great pick and roll game like throughout the season. I'm just interested to see who develops into that guard that can run the pick and roll with him. It could be Lucas. I think Lucas is probably the most likely candidate, just because he's already worked with Cam for 2 years. But, you know, it could be someone like Isaiah Bujoso, who, from what I've seen, a lot of his, like, high school tape, he's a great ball handler off the pick and roll. You know, it could be Bruno, who has been here now. He'll be a senior next year. We've seen flashes of him being able to be creative around the basket and drive. And it could be the new guy. It could be Marquise Kennedy. It could be either, you know, Marquise or Paxson, Wojcik, or, you know, Tate Hall. It could be a variety of guys. But I think that's something to keep our eye on for this offseason and going into next season. The only other points I wanted to hit on here, two things. First of all, Lucas and Cooper needed to shoot more. Both of them, Cooper had one shot after having probably one of his most impressive games against Bradley in the semifinals, where he made 4 or 5 3-pointers. And Lucas, again, you know, he only shot 5 times. He's the guy next season that I think is going to be a catalyst for this team. On the days where he plays well, the team's going to play well, and when he doesn't, they're going to struggle. So I'm looking forward to seeing him develop as a player this offseason, see what he adds to his game, because it seemed like this season he added the ability to take a dribble and shoot off the dribble, jump shots at least. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. Do you have any thoughts on either Lucas or Cooper's game?
Yeah, definitely agree. Cooper, man, great game against Bradley. He stepped up a little bit with the shooting range as a freshman, but this game was a little tough to watch, only taking one shot. Again, is maybe the factor of this being kind of the last, maybe potential last game for some guys. He was giving them the ball, or I don't know what was the head, but no points for him was kind of tough. Lucas, again, the guy had 9 rebounds, so that's something you're really interested to see from kind of that shooting guard small forward. So he gets in there, but again, it's going for 2 for 5, 1 for 2 from three. So I don't know. Again, I'd like to see him even not shoot, maybe drive more. I think he has flashes of like a great movement toward the basket, and he's not slow. He's pretty quick. So maybe getting that whole crashing and then pushing it out would be an interesting thing to see between Lucas and Cooper. And then Cooper, even maybe I'd love to see him work on something other than the shooting, maybe over the summer work on the whole driving, because I think being a little bit more, adding something more to your arsenal can just make him a little bit more deadly, because teams then don't only know one way to guard him. So I think that's something to look forward to. I'll just add on, we'll talk quick. Frank and Negron, they both played minutes, literally when I say minutes, Frank 3 and Christian 1. Again, is I hope to see a lot more flash of these guys. We have 2 guys leaving, so in my opinion, this is room for 2 guys. Again, is their positions are not what are leaving, but again, as I think while minutes spread, these could be a chance for them. I do think next year will be heavy on Krutwig and Ahir, especially if this is the way Ahir wants to play. So I think Frank and Christian need to help give these guys breathers, and I think that's where their time to shine. And I'm looking upwards into the double digits minutes for them next year.
I'm gonna put a hot take out there. My hot take is that I think Christian Negron will be transferring. There's nothing to back that up. There's absolutely no evidence. I don't know him. I don't know anyone around him. But if I was him, I'd be frustrated. He is a great talent. He was out of that recruiting class of Negron, Cam, and Lucas. He was the highest rated recruit. He's shown flashes of it. He's athletic. He gets up for rebounds. He fights for offensive rebounds. The only knock against him is he's a little undersized for his position. But I think if he went to a smaller mid-major school, or even like a D2 school, he would dominate and put up 20 points a game pretty easily. Go ahead.
No, I understand maybe your frustration. That's where it's coming from. And I would say he's frustrated a little bit, maybe not playing. Granted, again, I think he's still maybe not fully 100% the Christian Negron that was recruited before his injury. But if we go back to plenty of episodes, I have been always in favor of Christian Negron. I've said I loved his flashes at the game at SIU at home when we were up big. He had a beautiful pick and roll with Bruno, and a beautiful feed from Bruno up against the glass. It was smooth. And then if I believe it was it could have been the tournament game or something. We saw him come in, a block maybe, and then a fast break transition that led into a little, just a turnover because he wasn't there, but he is eager to get the ball. So I do think maybe the minutes on a stat line haven't been there and maybe not enough flashes of play for him. So I do agree on that. But I just hope he understands the game plan. And again, it's do whatever's best for you. But I would disagree because I would want him to stay. But fair. That's totally understand where you're coming from, yeah.
I think that's fair, yeah. And the just kind of last point here. The exciting thing about this game is the three best players on that court for Loyola were Ahir, Cam, and Lucas, undoubtedly. I mean, Marcus was distributing the ball, but Clayton was nothing but a three-point shooter in that game. He took a couple jump shots. I mean, he plays good defense. He's a heart and soul. Like, he is a great player. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But the role that he fell into at the end of the season there was nothing more than a bring the ball up the court type of guy, shoot the three, and also play good defense. Whereas Lucas has developed into someone who can beat you driving to the hoop, off a pass, shoot from three, play. He's our best defender, undoubtedly. He grabs 9 rebounds, in this important game. Cam, obviously, best player next year, for sure. Undoubtedly, he is going to be the player of the year favorite going into the Missouri Valley Conference. And then Ahir. I mean, Ahir had an incredible game. If he plays like that, even if he plays 80% of that, throughout the season, he's going to be, a third-team All-MVC type player. So, encouraging. I mean, if nothing else, you have to take from this game that it was encouraging. They didn't look frustrated. They didn't look disinterested. They just got beat, and sometimes you just get beat. I mean, Creighton went on, and they won their next game against Memphis. So now they're going to be playing TCU in the, Elite Eight of the NIT for a chance to go to Madison Square Gardens. So they're a good team. They're a solid team. But I think as far as the Creighton game review goes, that'll wrap it up from here or from us here. Next, we're going to talk some coaching news. There's some big news, and then we're going to do a little bit of speculation on Loyola's part. So join us here at Podcast 63 for the next part of the episode.
And the Ramblers are moving on!
Here on Podcast 63 is our recent loss to the coaching staff, as well as who Loyola might be looking at as far as speculation goes for the new assistant coaching job. So for our listeners who might not know, Brian Mullins, our former associate head coach, has been hired by Southern Illinois University to be their next head coach. This is coming after Barry Hinson had been there for a number of years. And he was given an ultimatum this season, which was he was either to make the NCAA tournament or the NIT tournament, or he was going to be fired. And he went to the, he did not win the regular season, and they went into the tournament, and they had an early exit, and he left the court to some profanity from SIU fans, as well as just general yelling at him for not doing a good job. And then he stepped down at the podium after the game from his head coaching role. So just to catch everyone up, SIU made short work of their head coaching search, and as soon as Loyola bowed out of the NIT tournament, they announced that Brian Mullins would be the next head coach. I think we're just going to talk a little bit about it. Lou, what was your initial reaction as far as Mullins getting hired there?
It was bittersweet. And it was definitely tough. I think Brian Mullins, as people know and true fans know, that this assistant coach got a little pay increase after the Final Four run. He got promoted to the title of associate head coach. So that usually is a big step in the direction as an assistant coach. That's a big title increase because that just lets other teams know and lets our program know that this guy's ready to be in a head coach somewhere, and that he's had the time, and our head coach and our athletics department gave him the new title and the pay increase because of that. And then the man got to go home. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what it is, and it's great for him, and he's excited. I was watching the little press release they had about him, his press conference and his town hall, and it was great to really see. Brian Mullins, for those who don't know, was a four-year player at Southern Illinois during his time. And in those 4 years, he went to postseason every season. I believe he went to 2 NITs and 2 NCAA tournaments. And he, I believe one of them brought the Southern Illinois to the Sweet 16, going up against Kansas. So this guy has played in the big time. There's clips I've seen when I first started to get to know the team and understand who these coaches were. I saw that his highlights, he was on ESPN College Game Day. So Jay Billis, for those of you who know, he was down there talking about Brian Mullen. So this guy had a history of playing in big time in the Missouri Valley and especially at Southern. So it was a perfect fit. And again, as we just talked, Barry Hinson had ultimatum and he had to make it. And again, it's just kind of time for change down at Southern. And I think this is the great change they need and a step in the right direction for them. And again, as this is no blow or anything to Southern, this is really, I think, an upgrade and also a great find for them. And it's definitely going to hurt us in a way. It's kind of amazing that Southern was able to find a coach who knows the Missouri Valley and especially knows the Missouri Valley currently. This man scouts every team probably, and he probably knows every coach who's in the Valley, especially our own coach, how they operate. So I think that's going to be a great advantage to them. And as for the Loyola Ramblers, it's going to hurt him. I was looking to get to know his playing style, and I know he's a defensive-minded guy. So I think that's kind of going to hurt us. But we've been a great defensive team. Again, I don't know how much credit would go to him because we're not there in practice. But I would say definitely as any head coach – or not head coach, sorry. As any assistant coach leaves for head coaching, I would say they had great skill with a team they just left. So I think we're definitely going to have some type of hole to fill. But I think, with the way Porter's leading this program, I think he'll easily able to find someone as great to fill that hole.
Yeah, I share the sentiment of the bittersweet. I'm happy for him. At the end of the day, like, he has showed out at Loyola. He's done his job and then some. The guys love him. Everyone's, Clay and Marcus are both posting pictures of him, and everyone's so happy for him. But at the end of the day now, we are going to be competing with them at least twice a year. And it's going to be interesting because I think that his program is going to be so similar to ours. I think he's going to try to recruit the same guys as we are. He's going to have a similar play style, defense first, defense and shooting above all. So it's going to be interesting playing them twice a year because it's going to be like playing ourselves. So, I'm going to look forward to the coaching battles too, because it's really going to be a chess match between Porter and Brian. They both know each other so well, so it's going to be who can outsmart the other one. But this is a great move for Brian. We talked about it a little bit on the podcast last week, as well as the overtime episode with Jesse Kramer. Brian is doing what is most important for himself, his family, and his career as a coach in college basketball. I'm happy for him. So it's good for him. Good for that program. I wouldn't expect them to miss much of a step. Like, I think the first year might be kind of hard. They have 6 open scholarships for next year. 3 have been taken, at least like verbal commitments, if not letters of intent. But Brian still has 3 more scholarships to give out for next year. So I think the first year might be a little difficult for him, for that program as a whole. But I think year 2, you're going to see a team that is ready to compete and be in the top half of the Missouri Valley. Another interesting thing, as far as Brian goes and that coaching staff at SIU, it's going to be interesting to see whether there's going to be a shakeup as far as like assistant coaches go. Usually when guys come to new teams, they like to, hire some guys that they know well or have coached with before. So one name that we think might be kind of interesting to see, Brian's brother, Brendan, is a current assistant coach at Illinois State, and wouldn't be shocked if Brian goes ahead and hires Brendan from Illinois State to be an assistant coach on his staff. It would be similar to say if we got a new head coach at Loyola, the new head coach probably wouldn't want to keep on the same staff. So it's just going to be interesting to see whether Brian goes ahead and hires any new guys there. Ballou, what do you think hiring Brendan, his brother, might be a realistic option there at Illinois State?
It's I believe when we were talking about this, we looked into it a little bit. And Brendan came from UIC down to Illinois State. I believe this might be his second year there, a second full season as an assistant coach. This might be a brotherly love that they can join each other. Maybe they don't want to be on the same team as assistant to coach. Maybe they want their own thing. So we don't know. Again, that's up to family. But as we know, if Brendan Mullins did go to Southern Illinois, and we talk about this all the time, there might be a little dent in recruiting for certain teams because of such a strong connection with a certain AAU program.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of are in favor of that AAU program right now.
Currently, well...
I would say currently.
Not even just three. So we have three of our recruits from next year coming. But then even our preferred walk-on, all four of them are going to be coming from the Illinois Wolves AAU team.
Yeah, the Illinois Wolves AAU team, which has flurried many different guys into Loyola. I believe Joe Chrisman was the last one. And I believe other guys have been looked at. And again, is there plenty of guys who have been interested in Loyola from the program? And it just happened. So yeah, this year is one of our biggest years with four guys, three scholarship, one preferred walk-on, are all coming from the program with a connection. If those of you don't know, we looked into this. Both Brian and Brendan Mullins, their father, runs the Illinois Wolves. So and we're not saying there's no collusion or anything. It's helpful when you have the name and you know how great coaching is, and I think Brian is already a great coach, and he's doing that on his own. So I can easily see Brendan go down there. He'll know the Valley as well, so it kind of would be a benefit also to Brian. So having two guys then freshly into the Valley competition. But again, I don't know what Brian's looking for. If Brian's looking for guys who are from bigger programs or he's looking for a fresh start. Again, this is his first time as a head coach. So I definitely agree that it won't be as fast-paced winning right away,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely think he has the winning mentality and the culture. I definitely think he's a huge part of our culture that was created here. And so I think it'll be an interesting way with how things pan out.
Yeah, I just want to take a quick look at their roster here as far as like what who is returning to Southern Illinois, because if they're getting six new guys in, they have to be losing a lot as well. Let's see here. Eric McGill returning, Aaron Cook, who's a good guard for them there. But they're losing key guys like Sean Lloyd Jr., Armand Fletcher, a big guy. So, yeah, I mean, he has a they're also losing Kavion Pippen and Thick Bull, who are two of their tall guys there. So he's definitely going to need to recruit some sort of, like, forward or center there at SIU. But, you know, there's a couple key guys, but I don't think they have enough impact talent to be all that impressive next year. But you know what? Good job to Brian Mullins. Good job at SIU for realizing that they're hiring someone who is impressive in his own right. And, you know, I think he's going to be there. I think he's going to be there a long time. I think this upcoming, you know, this conference is upcoming as a whole. And Porter and now Brian at SIU are going to lead the conference. And you know what? Maybe 2-3 years we'll get a double bid from the Missouri Valley and have both SIU and Loyola going. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And that's what this is SIU is realizing that Loyola, you know, what we have going on here is a good thing. Brian Mullins is one of the, you know, key contributors to this culture and this program. And now they want to imitate that, and they want to, create their own culture around Brian. But unless you have any last thoughts on this whole Brian Mullins thing, do you have anything?
No, cheers to him. Best wishes. I hope every time we play them great, but we happen to win. And I hope there's no hard feelings. I don't think there is. The way Twitter was going about it, everyone was wishing him the best. So I think we are definitely losing a great guy, but SIU's getting something great for them.
Yeah. That's going to do it as far as the Mullins conversation goes. Baloo, so now we have an opening on our staff. So
who, oh, we do.
Yeah.
We do. Oh, okay.
So who's going to be the next assistant coach? University.
Coach K is coming to retire from Duke. He's
I think if they would have lost to UCF, I think
you know what? Yeah, you know what? I think, yeah. Maybe Taco Fall coming to assistant coach.
Oh, boy. 7 foot seven.
7 foot seven. Maybe Carson Shanks. You never know. Ooh. Carson Shanks might come down.
Ben Richardson.
Clayton Custer. We don't know. But yeah,
all speculation. Coach K definitely.
Coach K definitely is in the running.
Confirmed.
Well, let's get back to reality.
Yes.
We're gonna talk about who might fill this hole that we have. There's no way to really say it. There's an empty seat right now on the bench, in the coaching realm, for Loyola, and we need to fill it. Because it's a big deal, and let's really just get off to it. We happen to see on Rambler Mania, for those of you who don't know, Rambler Mania is a thread that good old Loyola fans have going on. But we saw a few people ask what type of coach they wanted. Did they want an up-and-coming high school coach? Did they want another mid-major, Power 6 or something into that realm, assistant? Or do they want a head coach on the rebound? So I believe you and I both, correct me if I'm wrong, are more leaning toward we would like to see a head coach on the rebound become our assistant.
I agree.
And I think that's just the level of where our program's going. Mm-hmm. And that only propels our program into higher levels because we're saying, hey, we want to upgrade our staff. Since we have this opportunity, we want to upgrade it to the best that's available. And again, as best available means what guys' money issues maybe or location. Some coaches only want to maybe coach on the West Coast for right now when they're coming off getting fired. And again, some of these coaches being head coaches coming off just being fired, their contracts were a little bit bigger maybe than an assistant. So it's going to be interesting. And again, does Porter flow well? Do they see each other? Is working together. So it's going to be all what's best for the team, what's best for Porter and the program. But I do agree with you, and we both are going to be strong proponents of this, that we'd really like to see a person on the rebound from being fired as a head coach. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's some few names we can throw around too, but some of the other categories of like head coaches that are at least interesting is like someone from a current head coach at a college. Highly unlikely that it would be someone that is in a high major situation or even really equivalent to Loyola. So someone that's like consistently in that, you know, mid major range. But I could see some low major or D2 JUCO current head coach wanting to take the Loyola job as far as like an assistant coach could go. So just going to throw a name out there for you. Current college head coach, Todd Eisner, who is the head coach at Winona State. It's not going to shock you. It's not fancy. But if you remember earlier this season in our one and only exhibition game, we played this Winona State team. And Porter is very good friends with Todd Eisner. They played college basketball together at Creighton. Todd has coached at multiple lower level colleges, including Benedictine College, among others. So nothing fancy or flashy about him, but something tells me that I think Porter might want to reward a guy who he has connections with, good friends with, or played with, coached with, something to that effect. As far as his like record as a head coach, at Winona State, his overall record is he's 463 wins, 205 losses. So he's proven that he can win at a lower level, at a low major or NAIA level. But I think this could be something to look into, especially since they just started playing each other in exhibition games. I would imagine that they might play each other again in an exhibition game, a tune-up game. So that's one name to keep an eye on. A much flashier name, Lou. Bryce Drew.
Who?
Bryce Drew.
Bryce Drew.
Yes.
For those two of you first don't names. Know, for those of you don't know, Bryce Drew and the Drew family name are legends in Valparaiso basketball history. Sadly, none of these coaches were coaches while we were in the Valley or anything, but they were huge influences in Valpo basketball. The father, patriarch, head coaching at Valpo for years. Bryce Drew's older brother, Scott Drew, I believe, he's the head coach at Baylor. Ooh. And Baylor men's basketball is a program that he's been there. So his older brother coached at Valpo, then went to Baylor. Then Bryce took over at Valpo. After playing at Valpo, I believe he has some historical shot that was taken in the NCAA tournament. So again, is this just a guy that has the head coaching? Again, is he was able to recruit top 20 recruits in this past 2018 recruiting class for high school? But one of his players, Darius Garland, got injured early and was out, so they didn't have that great of a year, but he's still getting to get drafted in the top 10. So I think Bryce Drew knows how to recruit and also has the experience of playing in the NBA. So it's going to be an interesting thing to really look for. Again, is that that's mine. That's Lou's dream pick. I think that is Lou's dream pick of what I want. We'll put it out there. We'll put it into the world. We'll tweet it out. But that's just what I'm hoping for. Just a guy with experience and a guy who has the kind of not a name, but knows what he's talking about. There's not a question by us saying, oh, what does this guy have to bring to the table? But then in the reality, we're losing Brian Mullins, a point guard in his playing day and a true point guard coach. You could say that he helped make Clay what he was for Player of the Year and cultivate him as a leader. So, again, as we would hope, we want a coach that can either help with the point guards or be a true big. Either one is great. We'd want that. That's what I'm looking for. We'll throw out names in the next segment, next moving on here. But I'm looking for a coach that can help build leadership with his point guards as we got Bruno becoming a senior, Marquise Kennedy coming in as a point guard, young freshman. We got Isaiah coming off his freshman year. So finding a core with these point guards. And then we're looking at bigs. We got Cameron Krubwick, who's had his he's a seasoned big, but now maybe a coach that can come in and only make him better. That's the next level, just to keep making Krubwick better. Then we got Frank. Then we have Thomas Welch coming in as a power forward. So finding a coach that can help cultivate a culture, not only with the team, but within the position coaching. And I think that's huge.
Completely, yeah. Bryce Drew, definitely best case scenario. You got to put it in the world or else it's not going to happen. But, you know, it might sound crazy to throw that name out there, but I just think where the program is coming off, you know, such great success in the Final Four, everyone knows Porter Moser now. Everyone knows the name of Loyola Chicago. So even though it might not happen, it's not unrealistic to throw names into the ring. You know, as we've seen with some grad transfers last year, recruitments coming up this year, we're throwing our name in the hat to some high-level recruits, to some high-level grad transfers, and we haven't hit on any of them yet, but we can compete with those names now, and that's really exciting to see. Shifting gears to like former college head coaches who are on the rebound, which is one of the topics that, or one of the category we both think is the most realistic, where Bryce Drew kind of falls into that category, but he's not so much on the rebound, and he just got fired. So a couple names we want to throw out there. They're kind of jokes, but kind of serious. Former Loyola head coach Jim Whitesell, who was the coach here for a while, left, is now the associate head coach at Buffalo. Very impressive team, very impressive coach there. And then the other one who just got fired from SIU, Barry Hinson. Neither of these guys will probably end up being a coach at Loyola, but this is the type of coach that we could see coming here to Loyola. A coach that was a head coach, has some connections to Loyola or the Valley, has a good reputation as far as developing players. So either one of those types of coaches might be something to stay in tune with, that we might hire a head coach like Jim Whitesell, an associate head coach like Jim Whitesell or Barry Hinson. Lou, did you have any like thoughts or any additional names as far as former college head coaches go? If not, it's totally cool.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think just right now,
It just we're waiting again to see how some ADs react. Avery Johnson just got fired at Alabama. Mm-hmm. I don't see Avery Johnson coming here. He just got bought out. So again, as we don't wouldn't even have money. But again, is I think people need to be realistic of knowing what type of name we're getting to. And again, as an assistant, as we're talking about, at a big program or at another emerging program is a big step too.
Mm-hmm.
People need to realize we got Coach Valentine coming from an emerging Oakland program, and he himself played at Michigan State. So he had he coached at Michigan State as well, and mm-hmm. as helping out. So playing at Oakland. So there, we need someone who has familiarity with college basketball and is ready to go in there and coach.
So here's a name that I'm just kind of pulling out of my, the rear end here. But
let me hear it.
Current assistant coach at the Illinois Wolves AAU program, Dave Kleinschmidt. He is an assistant coach for both the 17U and 16U team, working alongside with Mullen Sr., the father of Brian and Brendan. I think something like that, where there is a current either high school program or AAU program that Loyola has been recruiting from, it might be interesting to see if Porter wants to reward an assistant coach there and maintain that relationship with that program. You know, you would pretty much any of the guys that are on his current AAU teams, they would know and respect that coach, and you would have that connection there with those players the next 3 or 4 years. So something like that I could see. And then just one more name. Let me pull it up here. I was just looking. I think he's the head coach at Milwaukee right now, Pat Baldwin. He used to work at Northwestern. He used to be an assistant coach there. His son, Patrick Baldwin Jr., is the number one recruit for the class of 2021. Highly unlikely that he would look at Loyola, because I think he is looking at, like, Northwestern and even, like, the Dukes and Kentuckys of the world. He's done pretty well at Milwaukee. We lost to Milwaukee 2 seasons ago. So there's some connection there where Porter was, scheduling with Pat Baldwin Sr. So either one of those guys, just throwing those names out there. And then the last topic we wanted to touch on here, our last category, is promoting from within, which is the least flashy, the least glamorous. But on a team where, Porter has the control and he is, at the helm, it's likely. I wouldn't go so far as the most likely scenario, but I think it's definitely possible. Who would be that guy if you wanted to promote from within the program?
Yeah, if we're looking to promote from within the program, I think everyone would kind of move up. You'd have, I believe we have Coach Valentine, Coach Gordon,
mm-hmm.
and then London, and then so certain guys I think would move up the ranks,
mm-hmm.
And then maybe they would hire someone in as the kind of newer coach, bring him back down to director of something or video. That's always a big one with a director of video for some coaching staffs. So again, I don't know how this team got a budget. I don't know how it's looking, so we don't know how big of a name we're looking for or what role we're looking for. But if we're going to promote from in, it's not a bad idea. We're building a winning culture. So, again, it's not the flashy. It's not, again, what we're really looking at right now is fans and also dedicated fans of the program. So it'd be an interesting one, but it might work out and it might not. So we'll see how things go. Again, it's only been a week since the season ended. It's only been a week since we lost an assistant coach. So it's an evolving process.
Definitely. And then, now with Porter being on one of the broadcasts, I think it was CBS or...
Yeah, check him out.
Yeah, it was a cool thing. I didn't get to catch a lot of it. I was watching some other games and doing some other things this weekend. But from everything I've heard, he did a terrific job as an analyst, breaking clips down. One thing I did find that was kind of interesting, there's a clip of him talking about the Buffalo-Texas Tech game, and he was talking about fast-break defense. And how really fast break defense comes down to the first 3 steps running back on defense. So I don't know, just it's cool to see Porter promoting himself as an individual, but also all the time promoting Loyola and his school, which is why some of these head coaches' names we threw out that are kind of crazy aren't that crazy because everyone knows about Porter, you know, and they're seeing him, you know, on the tournament games broadcast or, you know, analyzing the games. So only good things came from him being on TV, except for maybe taking time away from recruiting. But other than that, you know, maybe he's already got it. Maybe he's already got his recruits down. We don't know. We're not on the inner workings of his recruiting. But I think that's probably going to do it here. Lou, did you have any last thoughts? You know, I don't know about anything overall.
No, we hit on everything for fans winning. We will start coming up with season-ending recap and everything, but we still had a game to talk about. We still had news to talk about. Mm-hmm. So, but right now, just what we're looking for is a new assistant coach. We have one scholarship out there. We are recruiting fiends. We do like to talk about that, but we'll bring that up later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, right now it's, I guess we got to really pretty much say thanks to, Clayton Custer and Marcus Towns for being, two great, members of a great program that Loyola has become. And, thank you for all your time. But, that's it right now for me.
Cool. Yeah, like Lou said, there's going to be more episodes. There'll probably be season breakdown, general season breakdown coming next week, unless there's more breaking news, or any recruits or anything like that. But there will be content every week as far as we know right now. We have planned episodes in the works on a whole range of topics from season breakdown to recruiting news to breaking news to just overall athletics news. So stick with us. It's going to be a fun summer. If anything changes as far as our schedule goes or episodes, content, we'll let you know. It's not going to be a surprise. There's not ever going to be a week where there's just no podcast if we haven't said something about it. But yeah, thanks for sticking with us. Looking forward to an exciting offseason, one with lots of promise and some unknowns. So stick with us. Stick with us here at Podcast 63, and we'll lead the way. We'll lead the way in Ramblers news. So thanks for listening to another episode of Podcast 63. It's been Buck and Lou. Go Blurs.